looking at funding, or that they are looking at funding, we'll be able to move forward after this evening. And we have 7 years from that date to get that payment, those payments back from our applicants. The amount of subsidy is $125,000 increments up to the $1 million that council has set aside for this loan. That money will be in a revolving loan fund and will come back into this pot of money, and the interest that is earned will go back into the program. Ultimately, this is specifically for hard costs of installing a commercial kitchen, not labor. So they will be used for walk-ins, hoods, you know, tables, anything that that they need to actually do that to install a commercial kitchen. That's really important, because as of right now, the cost of installing a commercial kitchen can be upwards of $125,000. So this is to incentivize and encourage more of that. The projected tax revenue as a result of this subsidy is approximately $80,000, and the number of jobs created would be 20 full-time jobs. And so with that, I'm just here to answer any questions you may have about the program and provide any other information that you would like to hear from me, or that the community would like to hear from me.
Thank you very much, Ms. Cappell. I know we've heard about this several times in the past, and I certainly already approved this, so it's nice to get an update. And perhaps just briefly, I know you've kind of let us know, but maybe let the public know what sort of interest we've had, what can we see coming forward for perhaps in the near future.
Wonderful. So the plan was to be able to fund about 10 restaurants, maybe 8 to 10 restaurants, depending on how much they each of the applicants request as the loan. So at this point, we have 3 applicants that are ready to be funded with the first round, which would bring us to $375,000. Those loans are not completed and funded, but they're in process and ready to go. The interest is a little bit hindered by the availability of commercial space in downtown, but as those storefronts and some of these musical spaces are becoming available, the interest is growing. We even have a couple people who are applying for the loans waiting for that perfect space. So I've got my eye on it, and I closely track the MLS and talk with business owners and have a running list of people who are interested, and there's many more than just the applicants that have actually applied and completed all of the application, which is just as difficult to get as a standard loan as far as the requirements that you have to submit with your financials and tax returns of the past. But so it's been very successful, and our goal really was to be able to fund about 4 loans in the first year, which would put us about right here on track. As of July 31st, that would be the end of year kind of one of getting this program off the ground, and we would fund the second round next year, and they have 7 years to pay it back, and or if they'd like to pay it off immediately, they can do that too.
It's exciting to hear about the interest and the applications already in process. And you know, we all knew that someday there would be a real demand for downtown space, and now we're seeing that. 12 years ago, maybe not so much, but here we are, so it's pretty exciting. Well, thank you for that. Any questions of staff? Councilmember Darris.
Yeah, just one question. This has probably been asked before, but the length of the loan, 7 years, how did we come to that? Is it negotiable? I mean, how was that the sweet spot for a loan like this?
That was an industry standard per the EDC and what they had done in the past, and there's a calculation that they ran for us about the return on investment and the flow of funds. So 7 years gives us time to recoup some of those dollars and reinvest them if we so choose as a city, or if the council agrees upon that. So a 7-year loan is standard for that amount, and it was also gave them a loan payment that was reasonable for paying in addition to the rent that they would be paying. So there were quite a few factors that went into that number.
Because it's a big chunk to pay back, you know, in 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, annually. So I imagine you've done your homework, and there's been success in other communities where not a lot of defaults, or hopefully none, because it's worked out well for the restaurant owners.
That's exactly it. And the interest rate is such that this is going to open up a lot of doors for people who wouldn't have otherwise been able to do this, because commercial interest rates right now are at 8%, 9%. SBA loans are up to 11% because they were variable after COVID, and a lot of people took those loans out. So we're seeing a lot of our business owners kind of feeling the pain of that.
All right, very good. Looking forward to seeing some more business downtown.
Yeah, it's coming.
All right.
Two quick questions. One, I think you may have answered this previously in a previous presentation, but, you know, restauranting is a very difficult business, and, you know, many good restaurants end up failing. If, you know, if the loan's taken out, restaurant starts, a couple years later, goes under, but somebody else wants to come in and operate, mm-hmm. what's the transfer mechanism, if there is any, for the subsidy?
There's an agreement that's signed where if they were to default on the loan, they would relinquish the equipment to the Economic Development Collaborative, who is operating the loan. Also, the loan funds are backed by iBank up to, I think, 90%. So that's another safety net for the city using public funds. But they are able to recoup the equipment, and then whatever they have paid on it, they would negotiate how to get through that process and make sure that if it needs to stay with the building, the landlord could possibly buy that and keep all of that equipment in the building, which is really the goal of this loan, is to install commercial kitchens for the
and keep it installed
in perpetuity.
For a next operator.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And then it seems, you know, the economic benefit here, you listed in the staff report of $8,000, seems actually very conservative and low estimate, considering we currently get 2.5% of sales tax. So it would be reasonable, I mean, I'm not sure how we arrive at a really conservative number, but it might be reasonable for us to hope for even greater results.
Absolutely. And really that number was derived from, if you look at what some of the restaurants from a small sandwich shop to a high-end restaurant pay or give back to a community and sales tax revenue that comes to the city, that would be, I mean, those are, you know, that's a conservative estimate of $8,000 times 10 restaurants, or eight, yeah, so that would equal to 80,000. But yes, absolutely, this would assume a moderate type of restaurant in every case.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I can share that's a very conservative estimate. I do get to see the sales tax receipts for the city, and it is a very conservative estimate. I think this will be threefold that at least in investment. And I do want to share too that the council's spot on with this policy. One of the other reports I do get to see is kind of our where do we bleed business and where are we overserved and underserved. And in our community, it's no surprise that we're most underserved in discount stores, right? People leave town to go to a discount store. People leave town for certain types of clothing and shoes, and then leave town for restaurants, believe it or not. So we still have capacity in town to accommodate more restaurants. It's a matter of the physical limitation of the kitchens. And so this is a great policy from the council.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. With that, I'll go ahead and open up to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this item, please come forward.
Good evening, Council. Once again, Jeff Oslin. One quick question. Why is the interest going back to the program and not to the general fund? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and I don't see anyone on Zoom either. I'm going to go ahead and close public comment, bring it back to council, and I'm assuming it's because we want to be able to reinvest that, but I will let Ms. Capel answer that.
Yes, at the end of this program, 7 years, we could distribute all of the funds back into the general fund, and that would be the goal, or we could say, let's take the entire fund that has now been paid off and paid back and use it for another incentive, like possibly helping non-conforming uses transition to other areas, whatever that topic is that council would like to address. So,
perfect. Thank you. All right. We don't. This is just a receive and file. So I think we are ready to move on here. We've got another. We've got a lot of public hearings tonight. So these next two should go fairly quickly. They're fairly routine. So the next one, number three, is our downtown parking and business improvement area confirmation of annual assessment for the fiscal year 24-25. I will first ask if we have any ex parte. I'm seeing no ex parte. I will turn this over to our Community Services and Promotions Director, Ms. Terry Banish.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno. Good evening, Council. So the first one that we have of the next two public hearings, we're looking at the adoption of the assessment for the downtown parking and business improvement area, the BIA is known as. Shown here are the current boundaries of the district, and we have our current boundary map. So down El Camino Real between Morro Road and Rosario, and also between Highway 101 to the west and up to Olmeda to the east. The BIA was established in 1986 and requires that the advisory body provide a report to the City Council annually for the expenditure of funds derived from the assessment paid by the businesses in the downtown area. In order to ensure adoption of the assessment prior to the beginning of the fiscal year, the report and resolution of intention were presented on May 28, 2024, and this also requires that the Chamber of Commerce serves as the advisory body and the subcontractor to the city regarding the BIA. The informal committee of downtown business owners advises the Chamber of Commerce on expenditures and assists in the creation of the annual budget. The Chamber of Commerce has submitted a report identifying the proposed improvements and activities that include the collection of the BIA funds requested for 24-25 of $14,500. The cash balance from the 2023-2024 will be applied towards future promotions, downtown events, and beautification focused to the downtown lighting. And then in 2023-2024, the downtown business owners actually organized the trick-or-treat on Entrada and hashtag A-Town with Heart in February. Downtown kiosk maps were updated twice, and courtesy parking notifications were created to assist with employee parking challenges that we had. In 2024-2025, the Chamber will continue working with downtown business owners to use the beautification funds to install the string lighting over Entrada Avenue and that new website that Josh talked about, being the atascaderodowntown.org. So that'll be good. So tonight, with that, council to adopt the draft resolution confirming the annual assessment for the downtown parking and business improvement area for the fiscal year of 2024-2025.
Thank you, Ms. Banish. It'll be exciting to see those lights coming over Entrada.
Yes.
Combine that with our downtown project. This is going to be amazing.
Thank you.
And just to let the public know, this is an assessment where the business owners in this downtown area choose to assess themselves to make these kinds of improvements. So this isn't something that the city has chosen to, you know, tax or charge fees to businesses, but they have chosen to do that to beautify and create energy and excitement and activities in the downtown to support the overall downtown businesses. I will see if we've got any questions before opening to public comment. Seeing none, welcome to our speaker for public comment on this item.
Good evening, Josh Cross with the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. Yes, we are the fiscal agent for the fund of $14,500 each year, or $13,500, and what's usually divided between promotions, events, and beautification. And this year our focus is to get string lights over Entrada. That is going to be the pilot, and then hopefully after that and it's successful, we will target Traffic Way to get string lights over that. The events that Terry mentioned are just the photos with Santa. Sometimes they do that. Basically anyone within the bid district can submit an idea for an event, and we evaluate it. We try and make sure that they're using vendors that are not overcharging them, and then we approve their events and give them a budget to execute it with that. So it's working, seems to work pretty well, and we've collected quite a fund to make this beautification project happen, which I'm really excited about, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. See if there's any particular questions. No, we're just very excited about the lights coming. So
maybe I missed the exact time frame on the lights, if you know that.
I don't.
Okay.
There are some challenges I know that you've been navigating with structures and
right.
attachment and things like that. So
yes. So.
That's good.
We've got a lot of the pieces lined up and ready to go. Nick has been fantastic. We just we need to get a couple property owners to buy into the project first.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, so I won't let Charles ask any more questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Cross. Anyone else in the public wishing to speak on this item? All right, I'm not seeing anyone on Zoom either, so I'll bring that back to council and ask for a motion.
I'll just say that I missed Taco Day on Traffic Way. Looking forward to the lights, and I'm happy to move that the council adopt the draft resolution.
I'll second.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Funk, a second by Councilmember Bourbeau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Newsom absent.
Thank you. On to our final public hearing. This is the Itasca Tourism Business Improvement District, similar to what we just did, annual assessment confirmation for fiscal year 24-25. Do we have any ex parte? Seeing none, move again to our Community Services and Promotions Director, Terry Banish.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno and City Council. So the second assessment is for the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District, or what we refer to as the APBID. The City of Atascadero established the APBID to levy annual assessments under the Parking and Business Improvement Area Law of 1989 by adopting Atascadero Municipal Code Chapter 16 in April of 2013. The activities to be funded by the assessments on lodging businesses with the APBID are designated as promotions, marketing programs designed to promote the city as a tourism destination outside of the county and surrounding counties and areas, drive markets and such. Events like Atascadero Fall Festival, Bovine Classic Bike Event, Central Coast Craft Beer Festival, Central Coast Cider Festival, among others, are part of the promotions to help bring in tourism into Atascadero, along with social media platforms and the different things that we're doing with it. All kinds of stuff, I could go into that. It is required that the advisory board provide a specific report to City Council annually for the expenditure of funds derived from the assessment and are paid by lodging businesses within the city. These levies are adopted annually and were provided in the annual report presented May 28th of 2024. The annual assessments are expected to be approximately $432,470 for fiscal year of 24-25. The APBID fund balance is projected to be $725,980 on June 30th of 2025. The recommendation to council this evening is to adopt the draft resolution confirming the annual assessment for the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District, or APBID, for fiscal year 2024-2025. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Ms. Banish. Any questions regarding that? Ben? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and go out to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this item? I'm not seeing anyone in chambers. Anyone on Zoom wishing to speak on?
No.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Newsom absent.
Thank you. All right, on to our final item tonight, and that is our management reports on the general municipal election for November 5th, 2024. So we will turn this over to our Deputy City Manager, Ms. Laura Christensen.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. In order to move forward with the general municipal election, there are several things Council needs to do, including we need to talk about some ballot measure language that Council directed staff to bring back in March and May of this year. We need to introduce some ordinances, adopt some resolutions to initiate the election process, to combine the city's election with the county, and to submit those ballot measures to the voters. Hang on one second. There we go. So up for election this year is the mayor, which is a two-year term, and two council members, two council seats, which are four-year terms. Those both have the same qualifications, simply that the person be registered to vote in Atascadero and live within the Atascadero city limits. And then also is the ballot measures that council directed to bring back. That is the renewal of Measure F14, where we're looking at renewing the current 0.5%, so 0.5% for sales tax measure, which would continue to include an annual audit, continue to include citizen oversight committee, continue to include an annual report, and that this becomes operative though April 1st, 2027. So while it goes to the voters this November, it would not become operative until such time that Measure F14 would sunset. And then also the ballot measure for the appointment of treasurer, which if that were to pass, would become effective at the end of the term, which would be December 2026, or upon an earlier vacancy. And at that time, it would then be appointed by the city manager. Up here, you can see the proposed language for the ballot measure F-14 renewal to provide funding that cannot be seized by Sacramento and that will stay in Atascadero for such things as repair of neighborhood roads and aging infrastructure, along with other vital city needs. Shall the city extend its current 1/2 cent per dollar sales tax, known as Measure F-14, until ended by voters with citizen committee oversight, published annual reporting, and independent financial audits. So just important to note, council cannot impose a tax. Instead, what they can do is to place it on a ballot with a 2/3 vote of council. The ballot measure must be placed on an election where council members are being selected. So that would be the November of even numbered years. Because it is proposes a general tax, it does require a 50% plus one vote to pass. And if it is passed in November, the operative date again is April 1st, 2027. This is all the language that's written into that draft ordinance that's included in the packet and would be effective upon the passage by the voters. Going a little too fast. Really quickly, just to kind of recap why council asked to bring this back is really the success that Measure F-14 has had. As City Manager Lewis mentioned earlier, we've increased our PCI by 6 points. It was originally estimated that our PCI would have dropped a minimum of 17 points if we had not had this ballot measure passed, and that it would continue to decline without the ballot measure. So to see that not only have we made improvements, but at such a significant rate is fantastic. Also, Measure F-14 also was a general tax that passed in 2014 with 58%. The funds were targeted, so again, that was a general tax, but funds were targeted for repairs, maintenance, and rehabilitation of neighborhood roads. That's local and collector roads. So again, like a general tax, it could be used for other vital city needs, but council then and since then has continued to use that money solely for roads projects, as we heard from the public, and we have continued to do that. Of that, since that time, that was the equivalent of 13 projects. But 13 projects, while that doesn't sound like a lot, that's the equivalent of about $17.2 million in road repairs, which is 80 neighborhood roadway segments. That's huge. 52 centerline miles we've been able to accomplish because of Measure F-14. And then we continue to provide an annual road report and a community road report. And those go before the Citizen Oversight Committee, which then comes back to council and then is mailed out. There we go. And then our second ballot measure is the appointive treasurer. And this is, shall the office of the city treasurer be appointive? It seems simple, but that's the language that's required through regulation. So right now the treasurer is currently elected. The only qualifications for a treasurer are that they be 18 years of age, a resident of Atascadero, and a registered voter in Atascadero. Switching from elected to appointed gives the city the ability to ensure that your treasurer is current and well-versed in highly technical professional standards, laws, regulations, the management system, sort of all of that stuff that goes into making those decisions for the investments of the city. It also has the potential to save the city up to $17,000 annually. That's what's being spent now for the treasurer position in terms of a monthly stipend and health benefits. In order to pass, this does require a majority vote of the electorate. And then just really quickly, I'll run through why we're here, why you saw so many recommendations in your report. in order to not only put ballot measures on, but also to move everything forward to the election, we need to adopt a draft. We need to introduce and adopt a draft ordinance that details the tax measure, kind of gives all of that language. That's required to be adopted before the measure is submitted to the voters. Because we are doing that and have that ballot measure, we've also brought forward the ordinance that would change the treasurer from elected to appointed, assuming that also is passed by the voters. That will just make that a seamless transition if that becomes passed in December. And then draft resolution A will initiate the election process. It'll clarify the ballot language that we just spoke about, and it will place the measures on the ballot. Then draft resolution B consolidates the election with the county. Draft resolution C sets the priorities for filing the written arguments. And if the council so determines, we'll authorize council members to write arguments, though council members don't have to. You do have the ability to authorize some or all council members to do so. And then draft resolution D allows for rebuttal arguments. And then just really quickly in the election requirements, the city attorney's impartial analysis, that's a 500-word maximum. If we go through all of these, then the city attorney will write that and submit, and then we'll turn that over to the county to be published. We have the written arguments for and against. Those are allowed to be a 300-word maximum. And that deadline has been set for June 25th. That's 14 days from today. And then rebuttal arguments can be 250-word maximum, and then that'll have a deadline of July 5th, which is 10 days following the rebuttal arguments. That'll give us enough time to get everything out, have the public review of it, and then get everything packaged and over to the county by their deadline. Arguments are required to have signatures of the authors, and there can be no more than five authors. And then let's see what else we got. And then just on California Elections Code, if there should be more than one argument submitted in favor or against, the city clerk would be required to select one of each for printing and distribution to the voters, and there's certain criteria in the Elections Code that we would go through. And then again, draft resolution A, because it does include the ballot measure language for the tax measure, does require 4 out of 5 votes in the affirmative by the council in order to place it on the ballot. And then just really quickly, just because our final recommendation is for a appropriation of money, the election from, we got an estimate from the Registrar of Voters earlier this year. It was in the amount of $62,000, and that was simply for the election. That doesn't include any ballot measures. And so estimating ballot measures at an additional 12 gives us an estimate of a little over $74,000, and we currently have a little over $43,000 budgeted. So we are asking for that appropriation, and then obviously if it comes in less, then that will go back. And with that, I'm going to really quick run through the recommendations because they're kind of meaty, but they're important. Introduced for first reading by title only, draft ordinance A, which is amending Title 3, Chapter 17 of the Atascadero Municipal Code, extending a transactions and use tax to be administered by the California Department of Tax and Administration. Introduced for first reading by title only, draft ordinance B, amending Title 2, Chapters 4, 7, 14, and 20 of the Atascadero Municipal Code, stating that the city treasurer is appointive and authorizing the city manager to appoint the city treasurer, subject to adoption by the electorate. And then 3, which is adopting the draft resolutions A, calling and giving notice, placing the ballot measures, and the election of the officers. Draft resolution B, requesting consolidation. Draft resolution C, to set the priorities for the written arguments and directing the city attorney to prepare an impartial analysis. And draft resolution D, providing for the filing of rebuttal arguments. And with, authorizing the Director of Administrative Services to appropriate $31,000 for the cost of the election.
I do want to jump in real quick. You did a great job on this, Ms. Christensen. There's two things I wanted to point out. One, on the language of the ballot measure, There was a lot of work put into that, a lot of thought. We worked with the city attorney, we looked at several cities' ballot measures. I consulted with resources from leading California cities. Ms. Christensen talked to some public affairs groups that actually looked at that. And so there's hours of work on that question. So if the council wants to debate the question, we're certainly open to that and sharing some of our thoughts on it. But we really tried to narrow in what we thought was the best question for our voters to consider. And two, I wanted to point out that the council took a position several months ago on the California Business Roundtable initiative that we'll be seeing if it's on the ballot or not based on a court ruling soon. If that passed, and this is one of the reasons I recommended we take a position against that, number one, you looked at a fee schedule several meetings ago, if you remember, hundreds of pages of fees that the council went through. That would need to be reviewed by the voters. That's crazy that a voter would be asked to look at a 300-page fee list and vote on that. Two, this initiative, which you have the right as a council to put on the ballot, will be invalid if that passes. Regardless of what this vote is, this initiative will be invalid because it puts a very onerous process to qualify a citizen initiative, and we'd have to put it back on the ballot at additional cost, and it would require a two-thirds vote on something that now is 50 plus one, and look at the good F-14 has done for our community. So I just wanted to kind of tie back to that initiative and why it's so bad and the impact it has on cities and why I'm glad we took a position against it. And also on the ballot question, there was a lot of thought, and I'm happy to answer any questions about that. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis, Ms. Christensen, and thank you for that clarification. And regarding the ballot measure for the appointed treasurer, I think you had said to me that's required language. There's nothing that could be added that clarifies that or makes a little sense or says, oh, and you'll save taxpayers $17,000 a year or anything at all.
So I forget the exact code sections around government code 36510 or so. That is the exact language. It says that the ballot question shall be in substantially the following form, but then there's a question of, well, what does substantially mean? And the closer you are to the language, the less chance there is for a challenge on it. So if we said appointed versus appointive, that opens it up to some question as to, okay, maybe someone is going to say that's not substantially. I prefer to stick to the exact language the legislature gave us so that we don't have to defend a challenge on that.
And so even using this language and adding something onto it would not be in substantial compliance or conformity?
It's open to argument.
Got it. Okay.
I think it would be impossible to argue that if we use the exact language that it's not substantially in conformance.
As I would expect the attorney to answer. Okay.
Kind of disturbing.
The unfortunate thing is I think that if a general public reads that, you're like, what exactly does that mean? But, you know, hopefully they go and read further. Okay. Other questions with regards
question.
To? No questions? Okay.
Yeah.
You do?
I mean, it is hard to see how appointed, which would be much more clear to the public, would not be in substantial compliance, but we can live with that, I guess. My question is regarding the arguments. The arguments have to be submitted by June 28th. I assume that the attorney's impartial analysis, 500 words, does it have to be done before that? I assume it has to be done before the rebuttals, because the rebuttals might, you know, want to see what the impartial argument is. And I noted that our attorney is going to be going on vacation, so.
I typically turn these around pretty quickly. My calendar currently has it for either the 20th or the 21st. That's submitting it to our city clerk. They will all go to the ballot pamphlet at the same time, so the voters will be seeing that. I have not looked at what the public inspection is on the city attorney's impartial analysis. There is at least a conceptual opportunity for someone to either challenge it or write a ballot argument in opposition, but there's specific timing as to when I have to get that done and get into the ballot.
Right. I just thought obviously the argument before has to be submitted in time for anybody who chooses to write a rebuttal to respond to. I thought the same might apply to the attorneys.
Yeah, I'm not sure the answer on that. They do run on independent tracks, though.
Okay. And then regarding the signatures on the argument for it, you indicated, you know, one or more or all council members could sign the...
Not all.
Well, so that's what
two,
I'm wondering.
Two at the most.
Is it limited to two, or is it...
because we would need to get together on it, and so it would, my understanding is it would be a Brown Act violation if more than two of us were to be signers on a ballot initiative.
All five of you could sign it if you considered what that argument was at an open meeting and approved all five signing it, but
which
it's a question of it's a question of how you arrive at that.
Yeah.
Right, or you wouldn't have matter. You couldn't have two write it and then the others sign it, because that would still be...
That would be more problematic. You can appoint a subcommittee to develop that argument and bring it back to council.
Got it. So two council members, I understood, though, and if I recall last time, either for D20 or for F14, other members of the community also signed?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not sure, you know, what process was used to identify potentially those individuals to do that,
we'll
or whether
that
we would
out.
Even want to do that.
We can figure that out.
Yeah. Okay. So do we need to decide here tonight, then,
we are going
who
to decide
the two
here tonight,
individual
yes.
signers
I actually have some recommendations,
gotcha.
So I will
understand.
Let you know.
Because the same, then, would apply
I will let you know.
To the treasurer issue.
Yes.
Got it. And then the city manager mentioned the wording on the ballot measure. I don't know. Frankly, for me, the first sentence is a little dramatic, but, you know, a valid point, because some people might have concern about that. I would only propose that sentence be moved to after where the question mark is, because I assume you still have, this has to be formed in the sense of a singular sentence, correct? To be a question.
It has to be no more than 75 words. The sentence structure varies from ballot to ballot, but it does have to be summarily stated as to what the question is, and the practice is typically to do it in a single sentence to the extent a...
Okay. It's just that we're asking a question, so I feel like the shall should be the first word, but I'm not hung up on that, but it's just my preference would be to start this with shall and then add the rest of that to the end after the word audits.
You mean shall provide funding instead of to provide
shall
funding?
The city extend its current, you know, one-half cent, you know, blah, 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 and then after word audits to provide funding that cannot be seized by Sacramento. So no changes of words, just moving the sentence.
I would just say that this format, we've reached other cities that polled well. That sentence pulls very well out the gate. So that's why we put it this way. The council can certainly do what it wants to do. But that's where that polls very strongly when you have it written in a format this way.
I feel compelled to bring it up, but I mean, if the rest wants to keep it, I certainly can live without. The important thing is that we get this on the...
I will go with what's polling well when we don't have to pay for a poll. questions, Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Very briefly. Just to confirm, by the treasurer becoming appointed, our understanding is that the city manager would then appoint a member of the staff, existing member of the staff, that this would not require a new hire of a new position for the city.
Correct. And I think, I mean, to be very clear, I would appoint the administrative services director. They are the finance director of the city, and that's the most efficient appointee.
Yes, and we have a highly qualified such a person on staff already, so that's good. Okay, and then are there any changes in the language of the ordinance that we're adopting for the implementing language for the half-cent sales tax measure relative to the implementing language for F-14?
A little bit, in so much as this is now a new ordinance structure that mirrors like what we did for when the voters approved the cannabis tax and when they approved the other transaction and use tax, which is measure D20. So this now mirrors that structure and that language that way. This is also language that comes approved through the CDTFA. So it looks a little bit like that, but what it does do is removes the sunset and the advisory measure. Those are no longer part of this measure that's moving forward.
Yeah, got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so before we go out to public comment, I will actually tell you what I've been thinking about in terms of the arguments. I asked Mayor Pro Tem before we came to this meeting, I would like to recommend that both Mayor Pro Tem and I be signers for the renewal of F-14. If I have council agreement on that, I'm getting nods, and council member or Mayor Pro Tem Funk happily agreed with that. Now, Ms. Christensen, we do not have to choose if we are going to have three other signers and who they're going to be, we can, tonight, we can decide that as we move forward and make that decision and have that done on the 25th.
Yes, this is specifically to council members.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other recommendation I wanted to make, typically, as we did with F-14 and D-20 both, we've always tried to not have anybody who's going to be on the ballot also be on the ballot here. It kind of gives, you know, almost double exposure, if you will. However, for the point of treasurer, I think it would be wise to have Councilmember Borbeau, because you, and there's no rule, that's just kind of our standard operating procedure that we've had for our two tax measures. But I think having Councilmember Borbeau, and I would certainly be happy to join you on that, and I would think we would ask our city treasurer, Jerry Seebach, to join us.
Right, and I specifically asked him at the last meeting, would he sign, and he indicated
right.
He would. So I think he's probably the most important signer, but I'd be happy to be part of that.
All right.
Ballot argument as well.
And are we, council members, good with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we would, assuming, you know, public doesn't have any sort of disagreement with that or other ideas, that's what we'd be looking at. So with that, what I'm going to do is open up to public comment for any members of the public wishing to speak on this item.
Jeff Oslin, once again, I know that you'll be taking into consideration who else signs the ballot. Mr. Josh Cross is very interested from the chamber, as he is the CEO, and they were very active in it last time, so maybe that could be a consideration, and I would put my neck on the line one more time to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin. Seeing no other members of the public wishing to speak, I will bring this back to council for a motion that would include the signers as recommended.
Looks like we have Mr. Seebach online.
Oh.
But I would be happy to make the motions, but I would hold off in case Mr. Seebach wants to comment.
Hello. I didn't realize you were there. My apologies.
Well, I'm still here, yeah, but I've been listening. I can't remember exactly what was done the last time the treasurer thing was on the ballot, but the arguments were good, so I would suggest that writing of the ballots should start with what the language was in that pro argument last time, because I think it's probably just as good now as it was then. And then, Madam Mayor, I seem to recall we had on the pro arguments, it was two council members and possibly me. And then on the rebuttal, if necessary, let's suppose some group or some person filed a opposition argument, then the council could direct a rebuttal of the opposition argument.
Yes.
And that would be a good place to bring in a couple other council members.
Yep.
So everybody would be more clearly close to unanimous of all the council members, and their names would be showing up somehow. So I just think, I don't know if that's required to do right now to identify who rebuttal drafters might be.
That's a good point to bring up, because you're right, that is what we've done for both F-14 and D-20. So, Ms. Christensen, should we do that tonight?
I think for you, so that you know who, in case we get to that point, so that the council already knows. Otherwise, we need to come back forward for you to
perfect
have another meeting.
So I'm going to simply say, with the four of us here, the two not signing, the other two would take care of the rebuttal. So council members Darris and Funk would do the rebuttal on the appointed treasurer, and council members Borbeau and Darris would be doing the rebuttal on F-14. Would that be okay for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, you could say no, and then we don't have a council member doing it. Is there a way to do Jeff Newsom, who's not here? We could certainly do that. Are you okay with that? Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you'll have support. We don't expect you to just out of thin air write a rebuttal, so don't worry about that. All right. So anything else, Mr. Seebach?
No. I remain in support of the treasurer measure, and I take no position on the tax measure right now, but I'll probably vote for it. So.
All right. Thank you very much. So coming back to council, I think Councilmember Warbeau, you were about to make a motion.
Right. So I will move the council adopt draft ordinance A, B, and resolutions A, B, and draft resolutions A, B, C, and D, and authorize the additional funding for the increased election expense.
With the signers as
indicated. With the signers as indicated by the mayor and her comments.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Warbeau, a second by Councilmember Darris. Do we have sufficient direction?
We do, thank you.
All right, thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Warbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Newsom absent.
Excellent, thank you. All right, we are moving on here. Council announcements and committee reports. Council on their own initiative, we might let you know ever so briefly of anything we've been involved in the community and any reports that we have on any of the committees on which we serve. So I'll go from my right to my left, start with Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Okay, the HSOC Executive Committee is meeting next week, and there's quite a bit of work going on to try to make some improvements in the process and to develop, as we're getting to a stage we can do performance metrics with the new HMIS data. There's keen interest in how we do that, so a lot of work going on behind the scenes on that. As I noted at the beginning, the resolution that, letter of recognition for the Pride event this Sunday is available for signature for those that want. And I think we saw the demonstration earlier tonight about why that might be useful for all of us to be united in our support. Thank you.
Councilmember Warbeau.
Yes, I attended a Water Resource Advisory Committee meeting last week, and nothing really of note to report there. Tomorrow, we'll be attending the full board meeting of the Integrated Waste Management Authority, where we will be adopting a budget for the next fiscal year, which will include a separate resolution lowering the IWMA hazardous waste or the waste management fee to 3%. So really pleased with that, assuming it happens tomorrow. Also, I have attended what I think should be my last executive committee meeting for the IWMA and will be willingly ready to transfer that role to someone else after many, many, many IWMA meetings. So,
wow, that's been a while.
Yeah. So, that was supposed to be like a certain period of time, and it's been very extended, which is great. We've accomplished a lot. I feel good about it. So that is it. Thank you.
Councilmember Darris.
All right. Air Pollution Control District meets next Wednesday. Looking at my calendar. It's next Wednesday, so that'll be coming up. Last Thursday, the city manager, Jim Lewis, and I attended. We're on the Visit SoCal board. Visit SoCal, not Visit Central Coast, so we'll try to brand that. The work that they're doing to really brand that for our county, which their work, I mean, all of us are getting equal treatment, is really doing a great job. I think the videos that they put out and the information and the outreach is, you know, I think, is outstanding, and it's really helping tourism and bringing revenue to our county and to our individual city. So I think they're doing a great job. It was a really good meeting. Thank you. That's all I got.
Thank you. All right. I did have a SLOCOG and an RTA meeting last week, 2 weeks ago, May 29th, whatever week that was, and got to ride one of the new electric buses, and they took us a little tour. It actually had a good amount of get up and go going up Santa Rosa, so we were all decently impressed. So anyway, more to come on that. Just to note, council members Darris, Warbeau, and myself, we attended the memorial service for Bob Wilkins, the first mayor of Atascadero, Mr. Atascadero, this last Saturday, and it was really just a beautiful event. So many memories shared, and just to see our community come together and celebrate someone who was so iconic and leaving such a legacy was really an honor. So with that, I will ask if we have any individual determinations. I don't see any on the agenda. All right, I'm not seeing any. We will go ahead and adjourn. Thank you all. We'll see you on the 25th.
At this time, AM 1230 KPRL concludes this portion of the Atascadero City Council meeting, brought to you by Idler's Home. More of what you want for your home. Go to idlershome.com. We invite you to join us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for the Atascadero City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Wave file attachment and or text notifications of voicemail messages all in one complete system. This gives you the ability to take your business wherever you go. Remote maintenance and changes to hosted systems are provided at no additional charge. Let Applied Telecom's years of experience and technical expertise provide you with the highest quality of phone systems and service available in the market today, with features such as voicemail, computer integration, and voice over IP. So stay in customer contact with the help of Applied Telecom, serving the North County and Central Coast for over 25 years. 825 Riverside Avenue, Unit 4, Paso Robles, 805-239-4288 or aptel.biz.
Mars Megastorage, your state-of-the-art storage solution on the Central Coast. Mars Megastorage can store your RV, boat, car, household, or commercial items in your own fully enclosed unit or covered storage space. Our on-site amenities include security cameras throughout, gate access from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. with your own personal gate code, 17-foot high steel walls for extra security, fully paved, and a wash rack with professional pressure washer, buckets, brushes, and soap, as well as a dump station, all while providing our guests the highest quality of customer service. We encourage you to come see all the guest features we have to offer. At Mars Megastorage, we strive to give you the best possible storage experience at the best possible price. Big or small, we store it all. Mars Megastorage, 101 Wilsona Road in Paso Robles. Call us at 467-3200 or visit marsmega.com.
Pacific West Steel, under new ownership, specializing in metal roofing and metal siding for homes, barns, awnings, both commercial and residential, big or small, and they can do custom flashings. With a large color selection, Pacific West Steel is the leader in metal roofing and siding industry. Get the aesthetic advantage and durability. Pacific West Steel, call Adam Andrade, 805-238-1783. That's 805-238-1783.
From Bradley to San Luis Obispo, San Miguel to Santa Margarita, this is where the North County comes to talk. KPRL.
See how the flag issue is bigger to the media? Because it takes hammers and attacks on the Alito family. But the tape that they found of Nancy Pelosi confessing that it was her fault they didn't have security, the National Guard wasn't there, is a non-story. In fact, on MSNBC, what is that idiot's name? Nancy, what is her name? Wallace or something? Nicole Wallace? What a fraud and a freak. What a fraud, freak, and phony. We do the threes, you see. Trifecta. She brings Pelosi on the... This is Trump and his people rewriting history. No, it's you and your big mouth, Pelosi. Blurting it out. It's called a confession, you jerk. Boy, has she been a hemorrhotic on the body politic, Mr. Producer. She's been a long-time hemorrhoid on the body politic, hence a hemorrhotic. Thank me, I made that name up, and will continue to use it. Let me tell you about Advantage Gold. They're the best of the gold companies. I've worked with many of them, so I know. The unprecedented assault on our legal system, on our political system that took place in Manhattan, that's uncharted territory. Folks, things are going to get worse before they get better. You can see it. And so we have all kinds of tumult going on in this country, as well as overseas. A lot of uncertainty lies ahead. I believe that this country at some point, because nobody really wants to address it, is going to be in a debt default. a debt default where money will be worth a hell of a lot less than it is today. It happens. It's happened to big countries and small. You know, in a time of a crisis or a pending crisis, there's always opportunity. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. And right now, I believe that opportunity is diversification. Diversification in things like gold and silver. As these economic and political tensions rise and our dollar's future becomes increasingly uncertain, in my case, gold has the appeal that I think for diversification. I think it's going to go higher. I don't see how it can't. But this is why I trust Advantage Gold. They're experts at helping Americans take steps to help safeguard their wealth with precious metals. And I want to encourage you to call them right now. They're there. Don't be afraid. 800-900-8000. Get their free 2024 gold and silver kit. Their free 2024 gold and silver kit, plus a special Mark Levin discount worth up to $1,300 if you qualify. Now, there's a lot swirling around. Most of it's not good. I'm not going to play games. What's going on is at best unpredictable, but your financial security doesn't have to be. You have to have two mindsets, one for the country, obviously, but one is to protect what you have. What you have. Call Advantage Gold now, 800-900-8000. Hello, 800-900-8000 are there right now. One more time. 800-900-8000. Get your special Mark Levin discount worth up to $1,300 for qualified customers today. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. Ay, ay, ay. Sometimes I don't know where to start, let alone end. But what's taking place here is really quite... It's unprecedented, what's taking place in America today. And you're confronting it. You're living through it. You're facing it. Sometimes we sit back and we say, how did people let this happen, or how could this happen? Let me tell you something. As a result of what I say on this program, as a result of what I say on Fox, as a result of what I say on Blaze, as a result of what I write, don't you think this regime views me as a public enemy, Mr. Producer? Don't you think they think that I'm right on the edge and all the rest, when I'm absolutely not? I embrace our history, our Constitution, and our principles, and I'm on a mission with you to advance them. Legitimately, legally, peacefully. It's the other side that's violent. I in no way am. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters in Israel. We have your back, and you, the American people, God bless you.
North County weather. Brought to you by Kevin Hunt Insurance in Templeton, 105 South Main Street. Couple of clouds tonight and overnight, lows in the low 50s, clouds and sunshine mixed in on your Wednesday, mid to upper 70s. Thursday, sunny upper 70s. Weather was brought to you by Kevin Hunt Insurance in Templeton. Call 434-3276.
Your first choice for news, talk, and sports. This is where the North County comes to talk. KPRL.
Hello everyone, this is Dora Carey with Orange Dot Quilts. My little shop recently moved to a larger location and the space is already brimming with gorgeous fabric, new patterns, kits, finished quilts, gifts, and so much more. Stop by to check out the new shop located at the corner of 10th and Pine in Paso Robles, right across from the police station. We are open Tuesday to Saturday from 11 to 5. At Orange Dot Quilts, we offer not only fabric but also sewing inspiration and quilting advice, and we are always happy to see you.
Tyndall Tile in Atascadero carries a wide variety of porcelain and ceramic tile with stock in over 80 colors of grout. They stock the industry's top performing